What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Fate can be a wicked thing. It can be inevitable or something destined. But fate can likewise be a positive. It could be a course of events that do lead up to having a victorious coming to pass. So here today, the parable of the wicked tenants before us is about the fate of the vineyard. The vineyard owner, who is God, seems to find himself in a predicament. It is his vineyard that he planted, who Isaiah tells us is the house of Israel, the house he entrusted to the Jewish religious establishment. And then from there, he goes home, that is, into another country, which is his heavenly dwelling for a long time, but still this is all a part of his divine sufficiency program, you could call it, until at the proper time, the due season, where the grapes are to ripen, he sent faithful servants, the prophets, to receive the produce. But the tenants, the tenant farmers, were wicked. They were without honor and disgraceful to those righteous men who were sent by God. They were sent to the vineyard to embrace the glories thereof. And because of those types of tenants, the vineyard had not brought forth good fruit. So the servants of the owner, as if they come to inspect it and ask, "Well, where are your tillers? Have you not tilled the ground? Because we see in no way any glory here of him who planted it." So hard-hearted and callous to the admonishment, they beat the servants and sent them away empty-handed. All three of them, they wounded and cast out. Which three was it? Perhaps the image of it being Isaiah, Jeremiah, or Ezekiel. Or it could have been Daniel, Elijah, or even Moses. Surely it could be any of them, for they were the ones who declared God's salvific intentions and also God's judgment upon those who reject him. So what then shall God do? Does a householder of the other country, the planter of the house of Israel, have no more servants, no more means? Certainly he did not lack other ministers of his holy will. We should understand this to mean that the Lord of the vineyard, after having practiced all gentleness and care, though without any benefit, will still advance to greater purposes. He knows what he will do. He will send his beloved son. For a beloved son represents the father. It is to be as if the father, the owner, was standing right there in front of them when the son shows face. And the son is not numbered with the servants. Therefore, he possesses natural dominion over the vineyard. And this, the beloved is so concerned that he would even dig up the rotten soil and clear it of stones and plant it with choice vines. And perhaps after that, they will respect him. That is, they will turn to him, not being ashamed, but riveted by his choice vines. Then they would return to attending to the vineyard that they were properly leased. But instead of that, when the tenants saw him, the more indulgent and inexcusable they became. "This is the heir, and to the heir belongs the inheritance. So let us kill him," they determined, "so that the land can be ours. The divine lot is our portion that we deserve." Jesus, the beloved son, is rejected, and they kill him outside the vineyard, lest his blood cover their desired land. So what then is their fate? They shall be removed from the vineyard, broken down, choked as thorns and briars, and laid to waste. But the worst of it to the hearers of Jesus' parable is the part where the vineyard is given to others. Because when they heard that, they cried out, "May it never be." But Jesus, interpreting their fate before them, looks them in the eye and says, "Then what does this have to do with the psalm? The psalm that says the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. What does that mean? They cannot answer that. But I will tell you, it means whoever breaks down the house, crushes the building, or tries to destroy it will come down with it. However, just like in construction, the cornerstone remains. That is because in construction, the cornerstone is the crucial element. It serves as the starting point and basis for the entire structure. It is the first laid in the foundation. And then everything else is aligned and built in reference to it. Chief cornerstone stabilizes the whole thing. Once you have the cornerstone laid, you have faith that the rest of the structure will stand strong. The cornerstone is, in that way, the seed of the building from where it germinates and rises. Therefore, the fate of the building, you can say, is determined by the architecture and the architect. Jesus now is plainly revealing where he came from, another country, and who is the architect of that country as well. He owns the whole house of Israel and the whole promised land too. But here, God plainly reveals the coming and destiny of a new Israel, the church, in whom we have been grafted into. And now the church is the new vineyard with Christ, the vine. Salvation history is that the nurturing will be taken away from them, and after Pentecost will be given to the apostles and the teachers of the church. This also, the fate of the church, all came about because of the killing of the Son outside the vineyard, because of the foolishness of the religious leaders who envied the Son. The Son who did not attack, but was sent to save, because he is no savage. He who humbled himself from his supreme and godlike glory to our condition was sent by the Father, not by fate, but by the will of the Father, to bind together two people, Israel and Gentiles, into the sameness of faith. And when you call people to the same faith, it enrages them. One faith, huh? No, thank you. We want our own. So they draw the bow and are inflamed that you set this faith against them. They grind their teeth at him who calls them to life. And through their plot of death, actually abolished death. Doesn't get rid of the heir to it all. But isn't it fateful that they feared the people? They feared the people more than they feared God, the owner of the vineyard. And our catechism, likewise, in line with Holy Scripture, states to fear God above all things, not fear people above all things. So we should all take that to heart. The fate of the stone they struck, however, has now become a great mountain, and the whole earth has been filled with it. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts has been planted throughout the four corners of the earth now. And its branches of it extend as far as the east is from the west. And upon such branches, the gates of hell cannot prevail, because the church that is built right is immovable, built on the foundation of the chief cornerstone, whose construction crew is that of the apostolic ministry, with the foreman and groundskeeper of the word and sacraments, which cannot get destroyed. And the principle is that the word produces the good crop and does not return void. The word returns to the Father with abundant produce. And so too with it, the water saturates the good soil so that its branches spring up to new life. Now its wine is much more than mere table wine. It is a balance of freshly remitted and fermented fruit and is salvific to the body and soul. Now you can answer, what is the fate of the vineyard? Because just look around you, see that you are in it, the inheritance of the saints, all ours because of the rejection. Because of the wood of the cross, Jesus got pierced on outside the farm. And it is ours as members of the household of God. It is ours by his blood, blood poured out from his side, that now empties into the chalice. Likewise, by the water flowing from his side, now flows into the church's font of blessing. These gifts is how he makes you not only heirs, but also new tenants. And the marvelous part about that is you don't have to pay any rent. Just keep the farm in good shape. Till the soil of the owner when he comes back. The owner will come back from the far country. He will deliver you over to the jurisdiction of the Son who upholds you, the Son who is your fate, the victorious coming to pass. A victorious fate because of the Father's answer to what shall I do? And it is no longer a predicament. The I will has willed on earth as it is in heaven. The fate of it all rides on being inside the vineyard, the new vineyard, free from wicked plots, because those plots were dug up on the third day, the stones removed, so that the choice vine could come out. And now it is the eminent domain of the Son. Though shortly after, the Son does return to the fatherland, he does not leave for long. He returns often to the vineyard. He comes down at least once a week to check on the tenants and also to give them the new wine and the new bread, to partake of the heavenly gifts, all in the one body, the church. So may the Lord continue to richly bless your faith. This is your faith made known through the ages, and it is a most blessed faith. Not because you are already perfect, but that you press on to make it your faith, your own, because Christ Jesus has made you his own. He who has made two people into one. So what shall we do? Lean not on your own understanding, but fall on him when he comes, for he comes with the prize of salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen.